It's so good to be here today. I've missed you all. I have missed you all. And for those of you who are maybe newer to our community, maybe in the last few weeks, maybe you came during the At the Movie series and you were wondering who this AI creature was that was on the screen talking to you, but is not a real person. I am a real person. I'm here today. I've actually just been on a break, an extended break called a sabbatical. And I feel so excited to be back here. I'm so grateful for our board and for the staff and our team that, listen, this church did not skip a beat. At the Movies was incredible. Over 70 people said yes to Jesus. Come on. Like, I love it. It just proves the church is not about me. It's about him and what he's doing in this community. And I love that. But I did miss you all. And I am just so glad to be back. I got to be honest. When I went on sabbatical, I didn't really know how much I needed it, to be honest. As I got back, I started to reflect on how I felt then and how I feel now. And to be honest, when I think back to how I felt then, I was having a really hard time envisioning the future that God had for our church and our community. I didn't even realize it, but I think I had very little emotional or mental capacity to just kind of really be excited about, hey, where are we going to go, and what's the next hill we're going to charge, and what are we going to do as a community? And I didn't even realize it until I came back. And my very first week back, I was sitting with my executive team, and they're like, how do you feel? And I'm like, let's go. I'm like ready. Like, let's take something. Let's blow something up. Okay, maybe not that, but let's do something crazy. I'm like, I don't know why I feel like this, because I didn't feel like it weeks ago. And so I didn't realize it, but I think there was something I needed that I didn't even realize. And I got to visit churches while I was off. I did go to church as often as I could when I wasn't traveling. I went to church in Colorado. And can I tell you, it was great just going to church and being other places and just receiving. But I can tell you this, there's no place like home. That's what I just want to tell you. There is no place like home. I love being home. Some of you might wonder, like, what do you do on a sabbatical? And that's a great question. I really tried to allow my soul to catch up, to rest. And part of the benefit of a sabbatical break or an extended break is just to really come out from under the pressure of ministry. Because there is a pressure, especially I feel it, that every single week I've got thousands of eyeballs looking at me going, you better give me something good today, Pastor. It better be a word. It better be relevant. You better make me laugh. It better, you know. So I feel that pressure, okay? They say Sunday's coming. I feel that on Monday. And so coming out from that, just giving my soul an opportunity to breathe and to receive for myself. And so I spent a lot of time reading or listening to books. I love to read or listen to books. How many of you love to read? Raise your hand if you love to read. Oh, okay, a lot of readers. I don't necessarily love to read. Let me just say that. So for those of you that didn't raise your hand, I completely identify with you. I don't love to read. I think it's my ADD brain. It doesn't do well just sitting there reading books. Like, I get bored one page in, or I'm falling asleep. And so I have found that listening to books actually works really well for me. I don't love to read, but I love to learn. I think we should all love to learn. I think it might take a little bit. You get out of high school and you're like, I hated that. You go to college, oh, I can't say that. One day you're going to come back around and go, you know, I think I actually like learning. I love to learn. And so I just kind of told myself, Tim, you're going to read these different books. And so, oh, you'd be so proud of me, by the way. I read 1.5 fiction books while I was gone. No, I'm telling you, those of you that know me, they're like, that's an accomplishment. Now, maybe you guys like reading fiction books. I don't. I read some mystery books. Well, 1.5. I'm going to get to the other one. I will one day. It's been about 4 weeks, but I come back. I do that all the time. I put down a book, I pick it back up and go, oh, that's what I was reading. I go right back into it. Maybe I don't like reading fiction books because I read these mystery books because I'm the kind of person that's like, I want to know what happens. And I'm trying to figure it out the whole time. I'm like, no, she did it. No, I think he did. Can I just go to the last page and figure out what happened? There's something about him that kind of drives me crazy. And so I force myself, and so I'm expanding my horizons, okay? And I read some books that are just good fuel for the soul. I read some books that reminded me that it's not my position or performance that causes God to love me, that God loves me just for who I am, and that's not just a word for me, that's a word for every single one of us. That it doesn't matter what you do. I don't care if you're a teacher. I don't care if you're a first responder. It's not what you do that impresses God or gets God to love you anymore. It's who you are as a child of God. And that's all that matters to him. And so I needed reminded of that, okay? And But I love to listen to books. In fact, if you ever see me out, and maybe I'm at the gym or whatever, and I got my AirPods in, you can come say hi. I always love that. If you ever see me with AirPods in, you don't even have to guess what my playlist is. Because I know some people are like, oh, you know, what's your playlist when you work out? You know, because a lot of people, when I talk to them, their playlist when they work out, especially guys, is like, oh, I like Metallica, or it's, you know, it's kind of like Guns N' Roses or Van Halen. I need something to pump me up, and you know, so I can push the iron. I'm listening to books on astrophysics. Now, don't judge me, because I just feel some of you kind of laughing at me. Okay, I'm listening to books on cosmology. That's my guilty pleasure, okay? I'm not an expert in them, but I'm an enthusiast in them. And I'm listening to all these books, and I think I figured out what drives me to them. Because when I was in high school, I'll be honest, I didn't like science. Well, I didn't like school. I didn't like any of the subjects, to be honest with you. But I found as I got older, it's like I kind of love science. And I think one of the things that I love about it, I don't know if you're like this, one of the things I love about it is that I'm drawn to this idea of knowing how things work. I don't know if it drives you crazy, but the moment I see something, I encounter something, I come across, like, how does that work? I'm like immediately looking it up. I'm going YouTube video, read a book on it, because I'm the kind of person that wants to solve everything. I just need to know how it works. I think I'm the kind of person that has an insatiable appetite to solve the mystery. I don't know if any of you feel that way, but I think all of us in a way are like that. I think all of us to some degree, even from the time we're kids and our brains are forming and we're beginning to form sentences and we're beginning to form thoughts, we're also beginning to form questions. And every parent who's ever raised toddlers knows what it's like when your kid starts to wonder. Starts to have questions, right? Because I know this, and if you have multiple kids, you'll get them start asking you some crazy questions. And here's what I know, parents, right? We always give them an answer one way or the other. Either you know the answer and you tell them, or you don't know the answer and you still tell them something and make it up, right? Because we want to be the ones who know, and we have kids that are asking questions. Like if you ever have two kids, be careful. I've seen this, right? Because when your firstborn sees that your wife is pregnant with the secondborn, they might ask questions like, how did the baby get inside of mommy? Every parent that's had toddlers has had that question. How did the baby get inside the mommy? Where did the baby come from, right? And sometimes we just give answers that we think a four-year-old would help them. Well, a stork brought the baby. I don't know if any of you ever lied to your kids and told them a stork brought the baby. And then they say, well, where'd the stork get the baby from? You're like the big nursery in the sky. And where'd those babies come from? Well, God made them. Okay, well, how did the baby get inside of mommy? Well, dad helped. And that's, sometimes that's all you say, right? Because we just, all of us, I think naturally, we're all inquisitive. We all want to know. There's a tension that I have found inside of me. I don't know if any of you felt this way. There's a tension that I think we all live with, that part of us wants to know everything. But at the same time, I think part of us also enjoys the beauty of mystery. Like when I was on my sabbatical, one of my trips, we went to Colorado. And if there's any place that I've been that fuels my soul, can I just tell you, it's the mountains. I don't know if you ever, or if you're like, some. It feels like you're either a beach person or a mountain person. I'm the mountain person, okay? Because when I go to the mountains, there's something about this majestic scenery of these cliffs and these tall mountains and the lakes and the trees that just, I mean, the most beautiful picturesque things you've ever seen in your life. And I sometimes just sit there and marvel and go, how did this all get here? I don't know, but it is beautiful. And there's something about the beauty of mystery that I think we all crave. Like, I want to know how stuff works, but I think I don't want to know how everything works, because here's what I've discovered. If you remove the mystery from life, it's really boring. I think we all want mystery, need mystery.
I think we need mystery in our relationships for them to be exciting. I think we crave mystery. Remove all the mystery, and I think life is pretty boring. And so I think that there's a tension in us. Like, I want to know. I think there's a tension, listen, because I want to know, but I also want the mystery. Now, here's the thing. I can prove this to you. We love mystery just like we love magic. Any of you like watching magicians? Raise your hand if you like a magician, like a good magician. Like, I've gone to some shows to see magicians. I'm just amazed by magicians. Some of the tricks that they can pull off and they can do are just blow my mind. And maybe in today's world, when I think about magicians, I don't think there's ever been a magician probably as kind of as good, as well-known, as amazing as David Blaine. You ever seen David Blaine do tricks? David Blaine is a magician who will sometimes not even just do shows in a theater, but will go out on the street where there's no mirrors and there's no set and there's no trap door, and he will pull off the most insane magic tricks right in front of your very own eyes, and people are floored, they're freaked out, they're scared, right? I'm convinced that maybe he deals in the black magic arts somehow because his stuff is a little freaky. I'm not going to admit that. But here's the thing about David Blaine. He never reveals how he does it. Because here's what we all know, right? You've ever heard this phrase? Every good magician, here's what we know about good magicians. They never tell their secrets. No. A good magician, and here's the thing. I don't think we actually want them to. Because what makes a magician good, what makes a magician believable, is when you can't figure out how they did it. When you figure out how they do it, it's no longer interesting. That's what makes a magician a good magician. But you know what's interesting? I was thinking about this. It's the exact opposite with God. It's the opposite with God. It's ironic. We think a magician is more believable when we can't figure out how they do it. The greatest magician to ever live, the cosmological magician that created the heavens and the earth, that we can't figure out how it all works. And you know what people say? Well, I just can't believe in that God. I can't believe in God. If I knew how it all worked, then I would believe in God. It's funny because it's the exact opposite of how when it comes to magicians. When it comes to magicians, they're more believable when we don't know how it works. But when it comes to God, I don't believe in him because I don't know how it works. You know, I really feel like there's a mountain, this is my perspective, maybe not all everybody's, there is all this evidence that seems to continue to point us to the beauty, the elegance, the design, the order of our universe. It seems to point to an intelligent designer, a mind, a creative being behind it all. And yet at the same time, that same God seems like a mystery. And there's something about that mystery that I think is a blockade for people. I would believe in God. Maybe you're here today, you're watching this, and you go, you're that person. Maybe no one knows, but you're the person that's like, man, I struggle with the idea of faith and believing in God because, you know, I don't know, God, we can't prove him. It's too mysterious. I don't know. But you know what I think? I think in the church, I think there's actually a lot of people that would say they believe in God, they have faith in God, but a God out there, not a God that's here and personal and real, that God's not real to you. And can I just tell you that I want you to understand this, God wants to be real to you. And let me tell you, if you feel like, man, I wish, I believe in a God, maybe, because it makes, maybe this world makes sense with a God behind it, but I just don't know that I can really engage with that God. I want to encourage you with this thought today. Unlike magicians, God will reveal himself. God will reveal himself. In fact, I think God reveals his secrets. There's a passage of scripture when I was on sabbatical, and I was just reading for my own. I wasn't preparing any kind of message. I wasn't that. But I was reading in 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2. And I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 2 because I want to show you something. Again, this may just be a precursor for future weeks and where we're going to go, but I was reading there, and there's some things that were just boggling my mind. There's some things about God that boggle my mind. And I'm reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, something that Paul wrote to the church that I want to show you. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 9. And here's what Paul says. Again, this is super intriguing. Imagine this was written like almost 2,000 years ago. And yet it's so relevant for us today. Here's what he said in verse 9. He said, this is what the scriptures mean when they say. So he's actually going to quote the Old Testament. He says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Now I want to pause before we go on. Paul is setting up something, and he's pulling back from the Old Testament something that was prophesied by a guy named Isaiah. Now, Isaiah lived hundreds and over 500 years before Paul. And he takes these words, they're actually found in Isaiah 64, and here's what Isaiah was saying. Isaiah was actually talking about the time before the world began. He says, before the world began, no eye could see it, or no ear could hear, and there was no mind there, we were not created yet, to comprehend or imagine what God was preparing. In other words, there were no witnesses when God started everything, the foundation of the universe. There was no one there. No one to witness it. No one to see it. But here's the cool thing, he says, but all of this in the universe that we can't understand and fathom, he was actually preparing a place for you and me. When he was forming the galaxies and igniting the stars and using gravity to create celestial bodies and planets that we're on, God was actually forming all of this for a purpose, and that purpose was you and me. And so this is the background of what Paul's about to say. He says, listen, we weren't even around. Nobody can understand this or fathom what God was doing. And then he says this in verse 10. I love this. He says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his what? Everybody say that word out loud. By his Spirit. This is going to be really important. We're going to come back to this. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything, and I love this part, and shows us God's what? Say it with me, God's deep secrets. Do you know God has secrets? God's keeping secrets from you. Do you know you have secrets? Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, we all have secrets. We all have things that no one else knows but us. And I love what Paul says, yeah, God has things that none of us know. I think it's kind of evident when we try to figure out his world. And he says this, here's what's interesting. God reveals things to us, even the deep secrets, but through his Spirit. And I love this verse 11. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. Here's what he's doing. He's talking about the mind of God. You want to talk about something mysterious? The mind of God. And he says, no one can fathom the mind of God. Can I say, I can't even fathom. I look at this world and I feel like in many ways there's evidence that seems to point to a mind that's behind it all, but I am so blown away by it, I can't even fathom it. And he says, no one understands his mind except for his spirit. In the same way, no one knows you and what's in your mind and your thoughts except for your spirit. No one does. And what he's alluding to is this idea that God is mysterious. Can I just tell you, God remains a mystery. I wish as a pastor I could tell you, I've got God all figured out. But let me just tell you something. God is mysterious to me. I don't know if you got to figure out, but God's mysterious. In the same way God's mysterious, so is his world. The universe remains mysterious. And here's the thing. This is what our, and if you're someone who's in education, if you're someone who's in a field of science, you'll understand this. The sole purpose of our sciences, what drives all of our sciences is this, to pull back the curtain. To reveal what is behind it all. That's the goal of science. To remove the mystery. To figure out how it all works together. And in the world of physics, and I tell you, I'm just an enthusiast and I just love it. But one of the things that I've discovered is that there is like this massive push in the last maybe several decades. There's a massive push as we have all the technological advancements and we've begun to understand and piece things together more and more, okay? There's this huge push to solve the riddle that is our universe. It's a push to finally figure out how it all works together. If we can figure out how all the forces and all nature all works together, and here's what the big search is for. It's called the theory of everything. Have you ever heard of the theory of everything? It's TOE. You ever see this? What it is, it's this idea that one day if we can figure out what's behind this whole mechanism, then finally we can explain everything in the universe, including us. That's the goal of science. In fact, one of the leading thinkers of this in the last maybe, I don't know, four decades or so, was a guy named Stephen Hawking. How many of you ever heard of Stephen Hawking? You ever heard of Stephen Hawking? Okay, a lot of you have heard of him. Maybe you even had read his books when you were in college, right? Stephen Hawking was a theoretical physicist who was a brilliant mind, maybe next to Albert Einstein, maybe the most brilliant mind in science that we've had in the last 100 years. He unfortunately passed away from Lou Gehrig's disease in 2018, and you know, the disease began to take his body, and he couldn't walk, he couldn't speak, he couldn't for many years, but his brain still worked, and he was brilliant, 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 okay? The things he can understand would just boggle my mind. In his magnum opus, his kind of most famous writing, he wrote several books, is a book called A Brief History of Time, which, by the way, happens to be the best-selling science book of all time, selling over 25 million copies. And in this book, he talks about this idea of the theory of everything. This is what we're trying to figure out. If we can peel back the layers, if we can figure out through our science, in our mind, our own intellect, what's behind the whole universe, then that would solve the mystery. And I wanted to just, I asked if they could put up just a quote from the book. This is toward the end of the book. Okay, Stephen Hawking, toward the end of the book, he says this about this theory of everything. He said, if we do discover a complete theory, the theory of everything, it should in time be understandable in broad principle by everyone. Everybody should get it. I love this. Not just a few scientists. Then we shall all, philosophers, scientists, and I love this, and just ordinary people. I'm so glad it includes all the dumb people like you and me in this. The philosophers, the scientists, the smart people, and the ordinary folk like us, right? Then all the ordinary people should be able to take part in the discussion of the question. What's the question? Of why. Why it is that we in the universe exist. You know what science actually points us to? It's not why, but how. This, when I read this, this is the real motivation that he has. I don't think he realized it. It says, if we find the answer to that, the complete theory, it would be the ultimate triumph of human reason, for then we would know the mind of God. Now let me point something out if you aren't familiar with Stephen Hawking. He was an atheist. He did not believe in God or a mind behind the universe. See, I think he was saying that a little bit tongue-in-cheek. What he was saying is, if we could finally, through our knowledge, our information, if we could understand how the whole universe works from the very beginning till now, then it would be the ultimate triumph of human reason. And here's what he's saying, and then we would have the mind of God. We wouldn't need God because we would know how everything works. That's what he was saying. Here's the thing. I hope we continue to find, and I love scientific exploration. I read all kinds of stuff on it. I love that. But I'm not really convinced that we are ever going to fully understand why. I'm just not. I'm not really convinced, and I'm open to everything, but I'm not convinced that we're even going to really know how it all works. But here's the one cool thing that Paul said, and this is what I love. He said, but there are things that are mysterious about God, the deep secrets that he actually reveals to us. This is what I wanted to get to today, by his Spirit. See, I think that there are things, unlike magicians, that God will reveal, but it only happens by his Spirit. And oh, by the way, there are places over and over and over in Scripture that continually show us that God has been revealing truth about him and our universe through the Scriptures thousands of years before science could ever prove it. So a lot of people think that science and faith are at odds. I'm one of the people that actually believes that they aren't. That there's a convergence of science and faith when you have the right lens and you look at them. And here's what's interesting. When I think about Scripture, I think about what we've been thinking about for a really long time, I want you to see this, that God has actually been revealing truth that a lot of people have just ignored. For example, When the scientific revolution really got started in hundreds and hundreds of years ago, for up until the beginning of the 20th century, it was kind of like assumed by all the leading thinkers, scientists, that our universe was infinite. Let me tell you why they believed it. They believed our universe was just there, always has been there, static universe that just exists. It's infinite in every direction and in time, and we just happen to pop up in this moment, but it's always been there. Let me tell you why most people believe that. It wasn't because there was evidence of that. They believed it because if the universe is infinite, then we don't need God. We can just say, the universe is God. You appeal to God, I appeal to the universe. They're both infinite, right? That was the belief, and it really was. Even Albert Einstein believed that. It wasn't until there was an astronomer in the 1920s, his name was Edwin Hubble. You ever heard of Hubble? You're like, I thought that was a brand of telescope. Well, actually started with a scientist. And Edwin Hubble was actually using a telescope to study galaxies, distant galaxies. Now, here's what he was doing. He was trying to measure the distance to different galaxies. They have a technique for doing this with light. And as he's doing this, he discovers something. Here's what he discovered. He discovered that the galaxies that are around us are moving away from us, all directions. They're moving away. In fact, here's what he discovered. The further galaxies are moving faster than the ones that are closer to us. And so this was revolutionary, new scientific information. The universe is like moving. Listen, none of us would go out to the night sky and look up at the stars and think this. Let's be honest, right? You never go out and see the sun and go, well, I think everything is just moving away from us. No, we don't think that. It was only through the science and the technology that we could understand that. It's moving away from us. Now, see, that was really difficult evidence because everybody believed in an infinite universe. It wasn't until a few years later, a Belgian-born physicist named Georges Lemaître. I don't know if you ever heard his name. Most people haven't. Georges Lemaître. He was a physicist who, with understanding that evidence, he put forth a theory. He said, I've got this theory, that, and he, mathematically and everything, that the universe that's moving away from us at one point actually came from a single little point, a singularity. Now, he put this out, right? And then he said, everything kind of just erupted from a single moment. Everything came from, you all right? This is what he, now, this seemed a little crazy at the time, but they're seeing evidence of things are moving. Maybe that's an explanation of how things work. Now, I thought to myself, I wonder where he came up with that idea from. I mean, they're theorizing all kinds of things. Here's what you need to know about Georges Lemaître, and I know you don't care about this. Trust me, he's not on the test. None of this is on the test. Just bear with me. I'm going somewhere, okay? Georges Lemaître was not just a trained physicist. He was also a trained seminary student. He was a Catholic priest. And I thought to myself, here's a guy who, looking at all the evidence and the science, why would he come up with that idea or theory? And I thought, oh, I wonder if he maybe got it from Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And not just that, I'm going to show you something else. Do you realize that thousands of years ago, to even pen those words and write them would almost not make sense when you just think of an infinite universe? To say, no, it all actually started from a single moment where God created the heavens and the earth. And with that evidence, as he's looking at this, by the way, the expansion of our universe is something that is often referred to as cosmic inflation. The best way they can describe it, because it's all moving out from no matter what point you are in our universe, it's moving away and expanding, okay? Again, I know you don't care about this, but just stick with me. That's expanding. That they believe forever, like, how is it just expanding? How is space and time just creating? Because that's what's happening. They used to think it was just empty space, and now they actually know that it's not empty space. This is science, that it's something called dark energy that is actually like expanding, or here's what the term they'll use, stretching the universe. It's kind of like the universe is stretching out in all directions. This is the language that is used in our sciences today. And I thought, that's fascinating, because I've read that before in the Bible. Did you know this? The prophet Isaiah, he said this. This is pretty fascinating. Again, I'm just trying to show you, like, a lot of people don't even realize, but There's a lot more in your scriptures that speak of the real world before we ever had the technology or the information to understand it. But in Isaiah 42:5, I love this part. Here's what he says. He said, this is what God the Lord says. Now, he's a prophet who says God spoke to him. That's strange. God spoke to him. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who does what to them? Everybody say that word, who? Oh, why would somebody writing 500 to 600 BC say that? Because when you go outside and you look at our physical universe, it doesn't look like it's stretching. Could it be that God revealed that? Could it be that God actually did speak to him and revealed to him? And by the way, it's not just Psalm 42:5. You can look in chapter 45. You can look in 48, Jeremiah. Over and over, people were talking about God stretches the heavens. That's exactly what we're discovering with our science. He stretches out the heavens. He spreads out the earth with all that springs from it. Who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it? Here we are. We're talking about things that we are discovering that God revealed by his Spirit to people in the past. Now, why does God reveal some of his dark, deep secrets? Why would God reveal his deep secrets? So here's the thing. I don't think God's going to reveal everything. I love this book. I don't think it's a scientific book. I think it's a book that God revealed himself to us. And so it's not going to explain everything. It does not give us all the how, but listen to me. God reveals things not to show us how, or not so we can know how, but so we can know who is behind it all. If you want to understand what God is revealing and why God reveals things, listen to me. It's not to appease yours and my like desire. I just got to know how it all works. God's like, I'm not going to give you that. I don't think we could understand it and comprehend it. I can't even understand half of the things I read. How in the world could I understand? God is not trying to reveal how he did everything. But God will reveal his secrets by his Spirit, listen, so that we can know who is behind it all, so that we could know the maker, so that we could connect with God in a real and a personal way, so that God is not just some type of scientific experiment to prove, and God is not just some kind of theological philosophy to embrace, but God wants to be real to you. He wants us to actually experience him. And the sad reality today is that a lot of people, their intellect is actually keeping them from, listen, not just knowing more about God as they discover our world, but it's actually keeping them from an encounter with God. Can I tell you what's better than information about God? An experience with God. See, I read all kinds of stuff in science and all this stuff, but I can never get away from my personal experiences with God that changed my life. That God has changed me. That I know he's real because I have experienced him even in supernatural ways. And listen to me, a lot of people will come to church and I hear this sometimes, this language. I want to experience the deep things of God. That's interesting because Paul said it's only by the Spirit that God reveals the deep things of God, the deep secrets of God. But listen to me today. Deeper is not knowing more, it's knowing him more. There's a difference. Deeper is not knowing more, it is actually knowing him more. And that's God's greatest desire and why I believe he revealed things by his Spirit. And here's what I know. When it comes to God's Spirit, a lot of times it makes us uncomfortable. I'm just going to be honest. When it comes to encountering or experiencing God by his Spirit, that's where people, I'm going to say even in church, depending on how you were raised, your background, your this, that's where some people go, ooh, I just need to back up. It's like, I'm okay with God existing out there and maybe answer a few of my prayers. But if there gets something that kind of gets a little bit weird and I don't understand, or it's mysterious or it's mystical, then I'm just going to back up from it. Why are we going to do that when God is mysterious? Why are we going to do that when Paul says the only way to know God and the deep things of God is actually by his Spirit? In fact, I love what Paul closes this passage with. I'm going to close with this. In verse 14 specific, specifically. In fact, this sentence, I would underline it if you have your Bible. And I would take some time this week to reflect on these. All I'm trying to do is get you to think about something today. But in verse 14 in chapter 2, Paul says this: "But people who aren't spiritual." Now you're in church, and so you probably go, "Well, I'm kind of spiritual." I don't want you to look at it like, "Well, you know, I go to church, so I'm spiritual." This is a little bit deeper than that. People who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. In other words, only those who embrace the Spirit, only those who embrace the spiritual, the supernatural, the mystical, the kind of weird, the mysterious, only those who are actually embracing the Spirit of God can understand God. You will always be kept in the dark when it comes to your faith in God if you will not take a step with God's Spirit. I don't care what background you come from. I'm just talking about what Scripture tells us. Look at verse 15. "Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For," I love this, "who can know the Lord's thoughts?" I don't know his thoughts. "Who knows enough to teach him?" Not me. I'm not raising my hand. But then he says this: "But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ." There's a beautiful thing that happens when God goes from being some kind of agent, some kind of mind, some kind of intelligence behind it all, to actually becoming personal. That actually you begin to embrace the spiritual, the things that are a little bit strange and weird. When you begin to embrace that, here's what I've discovered about the mystery of God and the Spirit of God, is that the mystery of that can either be a barricade to you encountering God in a real way, or it can become a bridge to you encountering God in a supernatural way. If you will just say, "God, I don't understand it all, but I know that you are supernatural. Our world will never be able to explain everything there is to know about you, and I'm not going to try to box you in. But God, I want to experience you." I'm just convinced today that so many people, and why you're here today, I'm just convinced people today don't want to just go to church because that's the thing to do. I think we're long past that in our culture today. I think the reason why people actually come to church is because they want to know if God's real. They want to encounter God. They want to experience God. And so here's what we're going to do. For the next several weeks, we're going to talk about the mysterious aspect of God, and that is His Spirit. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, sometimes called the Holy Ghost. We're going to do a series called The Ghost. We were going to maybe start in October, and while I was on sabbatical, I was just kind of enthralled by the mystery of God. I said, let's just start it when I get back. Let's just dive right in. Let's talk about things that are weird, things that are a little mystical, things that are kind of like supernatural, like, what, you know, things that maybe you've said, that's a little spooky, it's a little weird. You know what? It's only those who don't give themselves over to the spiritual side of God that don't understand it. But when you do, that's when you actually begin to encounter God in a fresh way. And you say, "How do I do all this? How do I embrace the spiritual?" If some of you are here going, "I want to be spiritual," whatever that means, let me just tell you, here's how it happens. It happens by faith. I don't care how much you know. You can learn. I love learning. It happens by faith. And here's what faith is. Faith is trusting God. That's what faith is. It's taking a step. Faith is saying, "God, I don't know you. I don't know everything there is to know. I'll never know everything there is to know about you. I don't even understand how our world works. I don't understand all that. But God, I believe there's so much that points to you that I trust you. And I trust you enough to embrace the mystery." You want to know what faith is? It's embracing the mystery. And let me just tell you about my faith. My faith is not blind. I hate when people say that. My faith is based on evidence, but my faith is not blind. My faith is not intellect. My faith is not just evidence. I love science. I love it. All that stuff is great, but it will never lead you to a personal encounter with the God who created you. But when you say yes to the Spirit of God, that's when things can transform inside of your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? I'm excited. Let's let it get a little deep in here. Let's talk about things that maybe we're not sure of. But let's begin today by literally posturing ourselves to say, God, whatever, whoever, all of you, I want to experience it. And so would you just bow your heads, maybe just close your eyes. And if you're not a person of faith, just in this moment, I just want to encourage you. What does it look like for you to think about God? To think about God, reflect on God. Father, I pray in this moment, I pray for every person that God, I don't know where they stand when it comes to their faith. Some that maybe say, I don't know what I believe about God. I'm grateful they're here. There's others, God, who would say, I believe in God, but maybe I've never known God in a personal way, an intimate way. I've never really understood things about your Spirit, God. And so I've kept distance. Lord, I pray today as we embrace the mystery, I pray, God, that you would give us the faith. Give us the faith, God, to trust you. To trust you with the unknown. To trust you with the things that we can't figure out about this life. God, so many of us are trying to control everything. We're trying to control our lives. We're trying to control our world. And we can't even do that. And so we lose hope. We give up. But God, I pray today, even those that maybe feel their world is out of control and they feel like, God, that they don't know which way to go. I pray in this moment that, God, many would just say, God, I'm just going to open myself up to you. I'm going to invite your Spirit to come and dwell. Listen, maybe you're here today and you'd say, you know, I've been around church a long time, but when it comes to the Spirit, when it comes to supernatural things, spiritual things, I've always been maybe a little bit closed off. I've never really allowed myself and by faith to really just say, God, show yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. I've never really embraced the Spirit of God. Maybe for you today, it's a moment for you to say, today I want to just surrender my life to the Spirit of God.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this message. I hope that it encouraged you and inspired your faith. If God is doing something in your life, would you take a moment and let us know? We want to connect with you and we want to be able to pray for you. All you have to do is shoot us an email to hello@thex.church, or you can always send us a DM on one of our social media platforms. And if you know somebody that would also be encouraged by this very message, why not take a moment and just share it with them right now? And as always, I want to say thank you to every single person who so generously financially supports this ministry so we can continue to get messages like these out to people all over the world. We believe God is building something special and you're a significant part of it. Until next time, have a great day.